of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Smash that like button on the Facebook stream there as well. Facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. As we welcome you inside the warm and cozy studios for a Duels Day installment of the Sports Hub here on FSA. Dual Cardinals softball head coach Sarah Hagberg. She'll be joining us here about a quarter past the hour. Bottom of the hour featuring Brian Tweet, Dakota State great, current head coach at the dual squad there as well for high school track and field. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Jam-packed and loaded show for you here today. A loaded high school tennis, baseball, softball, golf slate from yesterday. Had some college action as well. Minnesota Twins officially back in the mix here today. They'll be taking on the likes of the Baltimore Orioles. And speaking of officially, the Minnesota Timberwolves have officially a stranglehold on their respective playoff series. So we'll talk about that and much more. Plus, the Minnesota Vikings are going overseas big time. A lot to get to with the jump here from the local side of things and regional side. Loaded show for you here today as the Cobra joins yours truly. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. I am just feeling great. We were talking earlier, as I'll give the listeners a little inside baseball here at Hub City Radio. We've got a rule that says when it's 80 degrees and warmer on a Friday, we wear shorts. But this week, we're in the 90s. It's hot. It's sticky. It's not very comfortable. I sent out a tweet or a text message on Sunday night. I'm like, what do you think? Shorts Monday, Tuesday? And we got the thumbs up there. So we're feeling very rested. We're refreshed. We're comfortable in our shorts.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. It just feels like the show's better when we're wearing shorts. I think it's, like you said, it's just that comfortability type of thing that's going on. And it's super hot out there. If you're outside, I'll tell you what, make sure to stay hydrated. That wind's no joke either. Mm-mm. I'll tell you what, it's been super windy, but yeah. Very comfortable in the shorts. I don't know. It's just an easy kind of wake up for me. I can just throw out a pair of shorts and head out.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I get out of the shower, I towel off, bing, bang, boom, I'm out the door.
Boom.
Easy. You know, I don't have to worry about putting on my high socks and my shoes. Just boom.
Out the door.
Ready to attack the day. So I'm right there with you. All right. We call him the Cobra. We also call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 A, 98.5 F. And again, on your Amazon Echo devices, Alexa-enabled devices, say, Alexa, play Fox Sports Aberdeen or enable Fox Sports Aberdeen. And again, share that stream as well on our Facebook page. Want to toss this out here? We are less than a week away from Northern State Football's annual youth camp. That's coming up this Sunday and Monday, May 18th and the 19th for grades 2 through 8. That's for kiddos between the ages of 7 and 14. Nice time of the day there as well, 6 to 8 p.m., so it's not going to be too hot outside. Again, mark your calendars for this upcoming Sunday and Monday. be there at Northern State University, hear from the players and coaches, and learn a thing or two about the game of football. And you can sign up at northernstatefootballcamps.com. That's northernstatefootballcamps.com. We'll talk about this on Friday. Some of the Northern State head coach, or not head coach, but some of the Northern State coaches will be joining us, maybe one or the other. It's either going to be Jake Irie or Kyle Wiseman. They'll be joining us here live in studio on Friday to talk about this. But yes, indeed, this upcoming Sunday and Monday, grades 2 through 8, ages 7 to 14. Sign up today, northernstatefootballcamps.com. That's northernstatefootballcamps.com. And if I were a youngster, this would be something I would be all over. And if I'm a parent, which I am, my daughter's still too young yet, but if I had a son or maybe even a daughter too, I'm sure this is probably a co-ed kind of thing. You got to go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you got a young kid out there that wants to play football or in the middle of playing football, this is just a great opportunity to kind of learn from some coaches and players. I remember when I was playing football growing up, I went to this camp called Camp Lineman. Basically, it was like former players, actually a couple NFL players and things of that nature. You kind of got to learn and things of that. And, yeah, it's a great opportunity to kind of just learn. And if you're really dialed into the summer, which athletes these days are trying to focus on one sport, it seems like. And if you're just a football guy through and through, this is a great opportunity for you.
Absolutely. So sign up again today at northernstatefootballcamps.com. That's northernstatefootballcamps.com. Also of note, yesterday word broke that Gray Zabel officially signing with the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, their number one selection, 18th overall. Matter of fact, his mom, former Northern State women's basketball player, she'll be joining us on Thursday. Looking forward to that discussion with her. But his four-year fully guaranteed contract has been signed. $18.471 million. That's some pretty big cheese right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got some expectations now. He's a first-round draft pick. He's wearing number 76. He's going to play left guard. Steve Hutchinson did that not that long ago for the Seahawks. Well, it's actually been about 20 years now.
Is he good, Hutchinson?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I remember that name being pretty good.
Yeah, him alongside Walter Jones on that left side of that offensive line.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Was very good. And then, of course, he went to the Minnesota Vikings. He paved the way for Adrian Peterson.
Sure.
Probably one of the best offensive linemen in Vikings and Seahawks history alike.
I feel like, for whatever reason, maybe because I'm a little bit younger, mm-hmm. I remember his days at the Vikings being pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, man, you're the first-round pick. You got expectations, and we'll see how it comes out. And I think rookies in training camp and, you know, these mini camps, you're trying to make an impact right away. But really, it matters in the fall is when – because he's going to make the team, right? First-round picks.
Yeah.
First-round picks, you're not even really worried about making the team because you're just the first-round pick. It's when the show happens in preseason and week one, week two, and the season moves along, that's where you want to – start playing your best ball.
Yeah, it's not like the NBA or the WNBA. You see that happen, I don't want to say all the time, but it's not out of the question to see a first or second round pick get cut pretty early. That doesn't happen so much in the National Football League. So big shout out to Gray Zabel and enjoy that hunk of cheese. Now, on the NFL side of things, from the schedule perspective, you sent me something here this morning. The international games have officially come out. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But one thing that definitely piqued my interest and you alike is the Minnesota Vikings. They will become the first NFL team to play back-to-back international games in different countries. Now, it's been done before with the Jags. You know, they've played there like a week 6 and a week 7 or something like that. But this time they're doing it in different countries. They'll play the Steelers coming up in week 4. That's September the 28th. That'll be in Dublin, Ireland, that at Croke Park. You ever been to Croke Park?
No, I've not.
Nor have I. Shocker. Neither of us have ever been to Croke Park there. And then the week following that, week 5, October the 5th, they'll go to London, England at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium there. So the Vikings, 2 games overseas, week 4 and week 5. And I said that's kind of unique for a team that won 14 games last year.
Yeah, I'm surprised. They got the Jaguars treatment, if you will, because the Jaguars have done it before, and my guess is they'll probably have the bye right after that, just looking at the schedule. But those are tough 2 games. You got Pittsburgh Steelers in Ireland. I think there's going to be a good amount of juice for that game in particular. Cleveland, Minnesota, maybe not as much. But, I mean, if you remember the days in the 70s, the Vikings and the Steelers played a lot in Super Bowls and things of that nature. So I think there's going to be a lot of juice because just the history franchise. But, yeah, I kind of wish that game was either in Minnesota and Pittsburgh just because, you know, the history, the fan bases and things of that. So you're going to have to travel to Ireland to go to see that game. It's tough. But, yeah, that's an intriguing matchup for sure. But getting two back-to-back weeks as a team that won 14 games last year came as a surprise to me as well.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The rest of the international slate, week one, Chiefs and Chargers. That'll be in Brazil. Okay. Denver and the Jets also in England. That'll be week six. Jaguars and Rams. That'll be week seven in England there as well. Week 10 features the Falcons and the Colts in Berlin, Germany. And week 11, November 16th, the Dolphins and the Washington football squad. Commanders now? Commandos?
Commanders, yeah.
Yeah, so interesting how that'll work out. But, yeah, two games for the Minnesota Vikings there across the pond. Now, before we bring in head coach Sarah Hagberg, one final one here. I mean, is there any doubt that the NBA and the draft lottery is fixed? I mean, is there any doubt that the NBA just says...
Total BS,
the thing
lottery.
Is, they know... It's like, we know it's fixed.
Yes.
They know we know it's fixed.
Yes.
And they continue to just roll it out. It's crazy to me. Shaq in 1993, the Magic had a 1.52% chance to win the lottery. They did. Chicago native Derrick Rose to the Chicago Bulls in 2008. The Bulls had just a 1.7% chance to win. Kyrie Irving, after LeBron left, 2.8% chance. And Luka Doncic gets traded and somehow, some way, a 1.8% chance, and now they're going to get Cooper Flagg Newman. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you make the worst trade in NBA history and maybe one of the worst trades when you talk about sports history, and you get rewarded with the number one overall pick and Cooper Flagg. Now, I was watching this pretty closely because I'm a 76ers fan, and they didn't deserve it either, just with how their draft history is gone. But they were moving up. I saw they were in the top four, and then I saw they threw Charlotte up in the four, and the Sixers coming in had a 10% chance. And you had the Spurs at like a 1.6 or 1.8, and then the same with the Mavericks. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Sixers might have just gotten Cooper Flagg. Instead, they got the third pick, which I'm not mad at. I mean, you were able to keep the draft pick because that draft pick was going to OKC if it was – eight or more, so you got to keep the pick. But I can't believe you trade Luka Doncic and then you get the first pick not even a couple months later, and it makes Nico Harrison look pretty good today, doesn't it?
It really does. And you said it's the worst trade in NBA history. Maybe it's not, because they knew what was going to happen on the backside.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You
good
know,
point.
You say it, everyone says it on social media, oh, what a terrible trade. Well, yeah, the return investment's actually be pretty decent.
I was listening to Bill Simmons yesterday afternoon, and he was like, if the Mavericks get the first pick, I'm going to be morally outraged.
Yeah.
And then he put a tweet out last night, which was hilarious. But
expletive ridden.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But, yeah, I listened to that. I'm thinking to myself, and as that thing kept on going, because I was watching it last night live, because I was dialed into it. And as the Mavericks kept on getting closer, I'm like, are you serious right now? Are you serious? The Spurs, too? You just got Wemby, and you might get Giannis in free agency because that news came out. Like, what are we doing here with this? I feel bad for the Wizards and the Hornets and the Jazz, who had a 15% chance, and they got 6, 7, and 5.
What a joke the NBA draft lottery is. But I'll leave it at this before we bring in head coach Sarah Hagberg. I am absolutely wearing my tinfoil hat. You can't see it here in studio, but it's always attached to my scalp. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful time that they're doing this, because Michael Jordan is coming back as the next on-air talent there for the NBA on NBC. So it's all happening at the right time. And it's just like, it just makes sense. And good on the NBA for just taking a big dump and just saying, you know what, take a big whiff out of it, because you guys will keep on coming back. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what these sports leagues do.
Yeah, I saw the Michael Jordan come back to NBC, and immediately I started thinking of the NBC
eyes.
Sports song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
Round Ball Rock?
Yeah.
100%. And they're doing it at the perfect time.
Yeah.
So it all works out, and it just makes common sense. All right.
By the way, if the Bulls would have lost the game,
yeah,
one more game, You know, they would have been the number one pick.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But it's completely believable because it's the NBA.
Yes.
All right, upcoming next, Sarah Hagberg, dual head coach of the softball squad. She'll join us next. Sports Hub continues right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. By the way, big shout out goes to everybody out there. Today is National Top Gun Day.
Oh.
So that's why the music bed here. It all kind of works out.
Yes.
Last movie I saw in theaters, I think.
I love that. The second one is awesome.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, speaking of teams that are soaring, let's travel out east and talk some dual softball. Sarah Hagberg is the head coach of the squad. She joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to have you on the program today. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure for sure. Sounds like the kids are having a good time in the background there. What are they up to?
You know, right now in kindergarten, it is free play time, so it is me stepping in the hallway and trying to get a moment of silence here while they play with any toys they want to in the classroom here.
Oh, man, I love it. That's great stuff. My daughter's not that far off from kindergarten time, which blows my mind how that all happens so fast.
Yeah, but it goes fast.
It sure does. You're not kidding. Well, tell you what, this season has gone by pretty quick. You guys are, they always say it's a lot more fun when, or the season goes fast when you're having a lot of fun. You're 14-2 right now. Feels like everything's clicking for the squad.
It sure does. And you're right. It has flown by. It seems like it took forever to get here and get started. And once we started, we've had some super busy weeks with multiple games. And it's just, I can't believe we played 16 games now. And it's we're looking at the, you know, SODAC 16 coming up here in a couple of weeks, and it's almost over. So, yeah.
For sure. And, you know, some individuals that are having big time seasons, you know, just going over some of the box scores before, you've really had a lot of contributions. It looks like Katrina Hagberg, my guess, your daughter. I mean, I saw some matchups we were talking before the show started. First game of the season, she had 17 strikeouts. I saw another game where she had 16, 11 in the circle. So she's having a big-time season, as well as Aubrey Lanners. It looks like she's having a nice year as well. What's it been like coaching those two and, you know, those contributions moving forward here this season?
Right. Those two have been fun to coach. I always say if you don't know anything about softball and you drive by one of our practices or our games, you could pick those two out as just hard athletes who are looking to better themselves all the time. Katrina is my daughter. She's been playing for quite a while now, and she's had a great year pitching, you know, Class B schools, you know, struggle catching up with her speed a little bit. You know, mix it up and down, levels in and out, you know, kind of like that. And she's had some good success. Last night we had a game against Dewbrook, and she had 20 strikeouts. So, I mean, it's just she's been all over the place. And Aubrey, this is her first year playing school ball with us. She's an eighth grader this year, and she has a big, powerful swing, and she's just been clutch coming in. I have her at number three. Probably should have her at number four, but with her and Katrina right next to each other in the lineup, and my one and two, they've been getting on base a lot and scoring a lot of runs for us. So.
20 strikeouts is bananas. I mean, that's like a season for some pitchers out there, which is just so impressive. As Sarah Hagberg joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, do you kind of coach to say, hey, just throw strikes and strike them out, or is it just kind of one of those deals that she's just better than everybody else?
I am unfortunately not a pitching coach. I've sat on the bucket my fair share of hours with her. Just having some success, and I know all the work she puts in the off season and after hours and stuff. And she's just been able to get the better of a lot of teams and a lot of batters. You know, every once in a while, someone will catch up to her. You know, if we see them for a third time around their lineup, they'll catch up. So I definitely don't coach for just strikeouts. Obviously it's kind of a perk, but, every once in a while, I got to remind my fielders. So I go, hey, they might not all be strikeouts. We still got to make some plays, too, if they do come, and we kind of don't get caught on our heels out there. So
you were probably in part of one of the more fun games in all of the state earlier this season. You played Castlewood. It was an 8-7 game. Lily Jacobson hit a walk-off homer in that game for Castlewood. But that was a fun game against, you know, a team that's probably right there up there with you in Class B. What was it like playing in that one earlier this season?
Oh, man, that one was fun in the aspect that we were ahead, behind, or we were down 5-0 after the second inning, and we battled back, and then we had the lead going into that last inning, and got a hold. They had a good win that day, wind behind them that day, and so did we, and got a home run to tie it up. And then after that last pitch, Lily's a good, you know, good batter. I said, Katrina, what happened there? And she goes, well, left that one a little out over the plate. Didn't mean to. I'm like, okay, that's all right. But we were that close to beating them. And I think that was a huge confidence boost for our girls.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you guys have had a really, really good season, but Castlewood has kind of been the standard here the last couple of years of South Dakota-sanctioned softball on the high school side of things. As Sarah Hagberg joins us here at Fox Sports Aberdeen, daily sports talk show Monday through Friday from 10 till 11. So just being in a game like that, I know you don't get the result, but that's got to be a massive, massive confidence booster to a fairly young team like you guys still are.
Yes, for sure. That one, and then our second game of the season was a loss to West Central, who was the runner-ups for Class A, and we had the lead for 5.5 innings of that game too. So we've been really playing some good ball this year, and you know, saying our only two losses so far are to the runners-up from last year's A and B schools, you know, it doesn't feel too bad so far this year. So,
and that could help you. I know you mentioned the SODAC 16 coming up, obviously the goal to get back to the state tournament. How can those kind of games help you in high pressure situations late in innings, you know, when you have an opportunity, you know, for example, you know, you guys are down or up one in the SODAC 16, and you know, how do you think that could help you in a moment like that?
You know, I think I always say, you know, the fun ones where we win by 10 or win by 15 are sure fun when you're on that end. But those close ones, just to show that our bats can come into play when we need them. And, you know, the defense needs to, you know, if they make an error, need to shake it off and move on and go to the next play right away. So we've been down a few times this year, and, you know, we've had to battle back. So I think those are good preparation just to show that we're not out of it. And I think this year, our bats have been a huge difference maker this year. I think we have a stronger bat than we had last year. And I think we've scored in the first inning all but, you know, two games so far. We've had at least one run on in the first inning, which just is a mental boost, if nothing else. So.
Yeah, just kind of settling into the game. Matt always talks about settling into the game, getting off to fast starts. And, you know, when you're playing with a lead, that just makes things that much easier, especially when you got somebody in the circle that's striking out 20 people in a game. It's just, I don't want to say easy,
right,
but it makes it a lot less stressful, if you will. A couple more here with
yes.
Sarah Hagberg on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Now, you take a look at the season to date where you guys are at. You're sitting in a really, really good spot. We talk about pitching, and clearly you guys have it. There are certain teams out there, whether it's, you know, A or B or even AA to a certain degree, you can see teams are really struggling with pitching here in the state. How long do you think it takes for the rest of the state to kind of catch up to where you guys are right now?
You know, I was wondering that same question kind of. I have, you know, another pitcher that's coming up and, you know, has been working on some things. So I'm like, boy, after she's done, I don't know what's coming next, you know. So, you know, for the teams, you know, I remember two short years ago or almost 3 years ago now when we jumped into this whole ball game, it was like, well, we have a pitcher. Okay, we can have a team, you know. So I think coaches or schools or communities or however, you know, are really going to have to start pushing if anybody's interested in pitching. I mean, you got to have at least one to start working on it. And, you know, a lot of girls play travel ball in the summer and, you know, fall ball in the fall and things like that. So that's what I found has been key here on my team. I just have more girls that are playing, you know, in all the different seasons more often. So in theory, I'm like, well, my job should be getting a little easier here because they're just getting all more experienced. So.
Yeah, you just kind of answered my next question, but it was going to be, it seems for your gals, they're playing in the summer, they're playing in the fall. But before South Dakota kind of this is a sanctioned sport now in South Dakota, softball is, was there like a Legion season? What kind of was the summer season looking like?
For softball, like for my daughter, for Katrina, for example, mm-hmm. I can speak for her, you know, and we play a travel ball out of Sioux Falls and we are June through the end of July. And then we do a couple of fall ball tournaments in September and October, like down in Lincoln, Nebraska and Omaha, things like that. And that's what we had for, you know, that. And she's played fall ball all 6 years from 7th through 12th grade with Watertown, just because they were the closest school to us that had a fall ball program. So the seasons are pretty short, but now when we string together, you know, a spring school season, summer ball, a little fall ball at the end, that gets a lot more months for the girls to keep working on their stuff.
It's a long process for sure. There's a lot of fine points to this game that, you know, we don't necessarily always get into on the Sports Hub, but it's not just roll the ball out there and figure it out. There's a lot that goes into it. Did see that she's committed to play down south at Mount Marty. Is that still the case? And that's kind of a cool accolade.
Yes, that is the plan right now. I'm looking to major in some biolab tech stuff and play a little softball. So she's excited.
Why do we always have coaches and players on the program that are infinitely smarter than us? I don't know what the deal is. We always do that, don't we?
Yeah, no, you're right.
No, it's always
Looking at her class list coming up, I've never seen so many science classes that I don't ever want to take in my life. Holy moly, it's gonna be crazy for her.
Yeah, protons and neutrons and electrons and yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Well, I was a kinesiology minor, coach, and I tell this story all the time. I had to do, like, I'm a broadcast journalism major, of course, and you know, talk for a living in front of a microphone. And, I had to take a functional anatomy lab and had to kind of pick out muscles of the body. And I didn't do really good in the class. So, and, you know, a lot of the people that I, you know, came up with in college, they'd ask me, hey, why are you in this class? And so that wasn't for me at all. So just
right.
want to point that out there.
Yeah. So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Well, a couple games left to go in the regular season here, coach, about five of them. I'm looking forward to the Arlington matchup because I clicked on their logo and I know, oh, that's Arlington. That's not Duel. So that'll be a fun one for all the media folk out there around the state. But what's kind of the goal for the season? Obviously you want to hoist that trophy at the end of things, I would imagine.
Sure do. Right now we're looking at finishing strong. You know, we have Chester coming up next week. That will be probably our toughest challenge looking at it. If, you know, if we're looking just on paper, but that's why we still play the game. You never know what can happen and crazy things can happen. Really looking to host one of those SODEC 16 games again, like we have the last 2 years. And I think ultimate goal for Katrina, myself, and the rest of the team is to, you know, get past that first game in the state tournament and definitely better than seventh place this year. You know, was that felt good at the end winning that last game, but really want to get past that first game or two and see what we can do. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least you won a game in the state tournament last year. Yeah, it always feels good ending your season on a win. So job well done.
Sure does.
Job well done there last year, and job continued to be worked at, I guess, for the rest of the way here for the squad. So appreciate you being a part of the show here today, coach, and thanks again, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. Have fun with the kids out there.
All right. Thanks.
Yep, you got it. Kindergarten, that's got to be an interesting job, huh? You know?
Yeah. I totally forgot she emailed me, hey, I do teach kindergarten. It might be loud.
Busy gal.
Yeah.
Making the time for us, though. We appreciate that. Absolutely. Once again, our thanks to Sarah Hagberg here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. But, you know, that drives me – I don't want to say drives me nuts, but Duel and Arlington, did you ever look at their logos back and forth?
Is it the same?
It's literally the exact same thing, but I feel like the Arlington, their logo is a little bit more portly, if you will.
Okay.
Take a look at the Arlington logo. Bingo, bango, there you go.
And yeah, it looks like they just moved the direction of the Cardinal.
And then the Duel Cardinal is a little bit skinnier, maybe? Maybe?
That would be fun to do.
One or two.
That would be fun to do graphics for that
oh
game.
Oh, goodness. I clicked.
Are they playing each other?
Yeah, at the end of the season. Yeah, they're playing at the each
well,
other.
Oh, no, that you had the graphic out there.
Yeah, I literally clicked on the Arlington one because the Cardinal was the first one I saw, and I was like, oh, well, this isn't the Duel squad. All right, upcoming next on the show, Brian Tweet, head coach of the Duel Cardinals track and field squad. He'll be joining us over the phone line after this. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. We are glad to be joined on the phone line by Brian Tweet, the head coach of the Duel track and field squad. It's kind of a duels day around these parts. Coach, thanks for taking some time out of your morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. Our pleasure for sure. Still on the road there, or are you at the meet yet?
I'm just pulling into Watertown now. We're heading to Clark for our LCC meet today. We did the pole vault last night in Duel and had a great day with the vault. So hopefully that continues to roll today.
All right, good stuff. And, you know, the reason Matt and I were kind of talking off the air, one of the reasons why we reached out to you to have you on the program is it's been a successful year for the squad so far. Kind of a good mixture of some young and old on your program. The fellas doing a nice job here this last Tuesday in particular. The girls, I should say, they finished in first, although the boys did finish in second place. What's kind of worked out for you guys and what's been kind of a strength of the squad this year for both squads?
Well, we're pretty well rounded. I would say probably heavy in the sprints on the boys and girls. I've had the same squads pretty much working together since they've been freshmen, and they're really gelling. The handoffs are pretty good. Obviously, when you have an Oliver Fieber leading the state in the 100 and 200, that helps matters out quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I was just going to bring up Oliver Fieber having a nice year. And to him and Caleb Ronnie, do those guys, you know, compete? You know, I know he's another player on your squad. Do those guys, you know, kind of compete, challenge themselves? I know in the 200-meter last week at Esteline, they finished first and second. So my guess is there's some friendly competition going on there.
There is. And then Gavin Close, and you can throw him right in there. And I think glancing at the heat sheets for today, we have three of the four fastest times in the 200 on the boys' side. So looking to score some points in that.
Yeah, I saw that you had a junior day at Northern State University. Fieber did there for some football action. But I also thought I saw something that he might be getting some looks at Dakota State. And obviously that's kind of your neck of the woods. I know we're talking about your high school squad here a little bit, but just being inducted into their Hall of Fame here in the not-too-distant past, what's that kind of accolade mean to you? That's a pretty cool deal.
Just to be recognized by your coaches, the staff, the athletic department there, it's quite an honor. Obviously, you don't do it alone, and you have a ton of teammates what push you along the way. But I had a great time there and found a lot of success there. So, yeah, enjoyed every minute of it.
Looking at the girls' side of things, Coach, I mean, it looks like Elena Carlson's having a big year. You talked about, you know, you guys have been able to do well in the sprinting, both on the boys and girls squad. She's having a nice year in particular.
Yes, she is, too. She's a really, really strong runner. Addison Timmons, she's right there with her. I mean, they're battling back and forth in that 100 and 200 and both significant parts of my relays. The big thing now with my sprinters, were kind of bumped and bruised here and there, so it's kind of fight through and take care of them and get them to the show.
Brian Tweet joining us here, head coach of the Dual Cardinals track and field squad, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, we're kind of jumping all over the place here, boys, girls, you, back in college, back in the day. But did see that Oliver kind of overcame some adversity, and I think every student athlete at some point in time in their career, be it high school, college, or pro, they're going to have some sort of adversity. Sounds like he had a kind of a knee injury here in the not too distant past, and he's kind of overcome that. Can you talk about his road to recovery and being where he's at right now?
It would have been a year ago at our LCC meet in the 100 dash. His block slipped out on him, just a freak accident, and tore his meniscus up, and had to have surgery, get it repaired. Didn't play football in the fall, and kind of getting back cleared. Kind of was a slow, he was running fast. He just getting the confidence back more than anything into that, and has done a nice job with that. But just one of those freak things that you thought you'd never, ever see happen.
For sure, and my guess is you got to maybe overcome that mental hurdle as well, right, Coach, with the block kind of slipping out and things of that, and just you kind of mentioned it, the confidence and, you know, trust in the knee. Is that fair to say when dealing with something like that?
Yes, there was a lot of issues, I'd say, early into the season getting going where he just – getting that comfort level, knowing that he could do it. He was cleared, but just hadn't ran fast yet and took it slow and feeling pretty confident now. He ran his first 400 the other day and kind of wanted to see where he was on that and learned a lot. That's how you learn how to run a 400 is by doing it. Right. So he wants to take another stab at that and see if he can get that school record too.
Yeah, I feel like if that happened to me, I'd have a really, really hard time getting back on that horse, the proverbial horse. You know, the fact that he can do it and, you know, get back at a high level, I think speaks volumes. Is that anything that you can do as a head coach to kind of walk him through some confidence things, or is that something that eventually, you know, he's just going to have to figure it out himself and find a way to get it done?
Well, we talked about it, and like I said, we took it slow, kind of worked with his comfort level, and then just kind of encouraged more. I mean, the first couple meets, it was one race, two races. We still have yet to do four in one meet, but today we're going to go after the four, and I told him, I mean, he's going to be, get the state meet, he's got to be ready to compete in prelims and semis on multiple days and know that he can do that.
Talked a lot.
Long process, but I think we're getting there.
Sure, no question about it. And you know, you talked a lot about sprinting here when we were talking to you. And you know, what's the biggest key? Is it really the start when you're trying to get explosive start and then kind of work your way up and obviously hit full speed there by the end? You know, can you kind of talk a little bit about that? A little bit how important the start is in the sprints.
We spend a lot of time with blocks, and with the start, if you're a step behind up there, and I got one of the better guys, I think, probably in the state, and Gabe Sather, my hurdler, and he's ranked right up towards the top. He's run sub-15 down at Howard Wood, and just watching his start, he's beating everybody by half a step to the first hurdle, and You got to get that good start, and I've got three kids that are pretty solid on it. So that is Caleb. He's kind of more of a 400 guy, where it takes him a little bit to get going. But Caleb Runny, that would be. But once he gets that stride going, it looks good.
Brian Tweet here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coach, can you kind of talk about the recovery process and the nutrition? You know, that's one thing we don't talk a whole heck of a lot about here on the Sports Hub, but from time to time, you know, it does pop up. It's very, very important just to kind of get your body right, maybe a hot tub or a cold tub, or just stretching out, and you know, all the food that you're putting in your body and staying hydrated. You know, when you have a team that's putting up numbers like you guys are right now, I would guess that's got to be something that you really kind of preach this to both of these squads.
We've been fortunate to have pretty decent weather. We haven't lost a meet at all this year, and when I kind of put my schedule together, you always count on losing a few, so I double up with meets, two meets a week. So recovery plays a huge role. We go to this meet here today. I've got kids that are competing with pole vault yesterday. They're competing today in the regular meet. Tomorrow we go to Webster for the NEC pole vault and javelin. Then Thursday they come back with the NEC. So especially with the warm weather, I've been preaching hydration, sunscreen, take care of yourself, and just recovery. You got to have time to recover, and especially those distance kids with the heat today, you just don't know how they can come back in a day. Like tomorrow will be an easy day with them and pump fluids in them and get ready to go again on Thursday.
For sure. And my, you know, you mentioned you do about two meets a week. My guess is, you know, some mean a little bit more than others. Obviously, you want to put your best foot forward every one, but, you know, you're talking about the LCC. My guess is, did you have that one circled, you know, to start the year? Obviously, that's a big one for you guys.
It is. I think Sioux Valley's going to have, I think, the depth and the throws on us, but the sprints, I mean, they're going to be super competitive. They've got some good distance kids. But we're going to go after and see where the chips fall. On the boys' side, the girls' side, Flandreau, I think Clark can be a factor in there. You just never know what happens with a sprint handoff or with a hurdler, somebody going down. It could be a big change in team points.
And going to be a big challenge today dealing with the wind. I don't know how windy it is out there by you guys, but here in Aberdeen, we're really around 38, 40 mile-per-hour wind gusts. When you've got an event like this here today, I'm guessing it's probably pretty sustained winds out there too. How do you kind of battle through the adversity of just dealing with, hey, you know, you got a stiff 50 mile per hour wind in your kisser?
Well, it's an equalizing factor. Obviously, if you're running 100 or the hurdles with the wind to your back, you can get some good time. As long as the hurdles makes a little challenge, you get a little push and your step gets off. And just be prepared for that. But you get to those distance races when they're going around the circle there. Strategy comes into play where maybe those top times are going to sit back a little bit and you can be hanging in that race and still coming down to that 200, 300 meters that you're right there. They pack up. So wind does play strategy. cross country, I talk about it all the time. And with my distance kids, that you need to run smart and take advantage of your situation when the opportunity presents.
Obviously, you have assistant coaches too, right? And do you focus on a particular thing, or are you trying to make the rounds all over the place? What do you do on meet day?
I try to get – my goal as a head coach is I get to every kid possible, and I very seldom get there. I want to see him compete one time. So that's – I kind of make my rounds as much as I can. I have a pole vault coach, and he kind of takes care of them. You got to have somebody there safety-wise. Then I got a couple of what help out, mainly with the sprints, and kind of get to my distance kids when I can't be there. But get to my throwers, and you can never have enough bodies to get everywhere.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, I'd say the pole vault would be the one I would probably have to be around the most if I were, you know, in that event. Just like you said, for safety and I think for moral support, just, you're on your own, figure it out. That'd be pretty tough.
We got somebody there. Well, pole vault takes so long, and that one coach doesn't get to see a whole lot of track some days.
Well, someone's got to do it. So big shout out to those folks that do. But a very successful season for the squad, for the boys and girls alike. Continued success, Coach, and good luck today there at the LCC.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, likewise to you, sir. That's Brian Tweet, head coach of the Dual Cardinals track and field squad, joining us right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. They've had a great year, and, you know, I tell you what, that's going to be a very competitive conference meet there. Castlewood, Clark Willow Lake, DeSmet, the aforementioned Dual, Hamlin, just to name a few, but... Man, that'd be just miserable. You know, 40-mile-per-hour wind you got to deal with today. I mean, you know, you can make some really good time if you're on – it's like a going back east, you know, got the tailwind behind you. But if you're going into it, good freaking luck. That's tough.
Yeah, it would be tough. And that's what it's amazing about these athletes is it bothers them, but they won't show it.
No.
That's what's so good about it. Like, yeah, and they're not going to make excuses either. A coach seems like – he's an all-business guy, and he also seems like he's very confident in his crew. I mean, he pretty much laid it out there like, hey, you know, we haven't lost many meets all year. We're going to win this thing. That's kind of the attitude I got from just his demeanor and how he was talking. He's very confident in both the boys and girls side of things.
Yeah, and he should be because, to your point, you know, they have won a lot this year, and they haven't lost a whole heck of a lot. So continued success to that Dual squad as they're in action here today. Speaking of dealing with the wind, somehow, some way, the local student-athletes did that yesterday in Groton on the golf side of things. We'll talk about that. ESD tournament for high school boys tennis going on yesterday. Pretty successful day for Aberdeen Central. We'll talk about that and wrap up this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub after this. Sports Hubbing it up on a Tuesday on FSA. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. Our thanks to Sarah Hagberg and Brian Tweet for taking some time out of their schedules and joining us on this Duels Day. Just kind of worked out that way. It's not like we worked ahead of time and we're like, we're just going to make this all about Duel, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, Duels Day and two very successful programs, both softball and track and field. And just it looks like they're just in that other gear right now. They're looking forward to you know, those big meets and track, and they're obviously looking for, you know, even bigger fish to fry in SODAC 16 and possibly state tournament there for Duel as well, or for the Cardinal softball squad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is Duels Day. Would be kind of cool to see the school reshare the episode of the Sports Hub.
That would be pretty cool.
Just saying. I mean, I'm just saying. If you want to go ahead and do that, that's on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Helps the school grow, helps get the student athletes some love. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, but I mean, we're giving you kind of some free love here.
Yep.
Just saying. All right. Coming up next on the show, Colin Cowherd takes over at the top of the hour. I'm not throwing shade.
No.
Not at all. Duel defeating Dubrook there last night, 5-0. We talked about that with head coach Sarah Hagberg. Also, you had Redfield defeat Clark Willow Lake 17-7 in some softball action there yesterday, while Warner Ipswich Northwestern, they defeated Redfield 11-4. So, I mean, we literally had their head coach on yesterday, and good things happen when you come on the Sports Hub.
That's a good point, too, because I don't know what it is. I think it's our good juju. Maybe it's that we're in shorts today.
Mm-hmm.
Something good's going to happen, but Yeah, to your point, when they come on the Sports Hub, good things happen.
So expect good things from the dual squads here today and going forward there at the Lake Central Conference meet for track and field. By the way, Drew Bakeberg scattering just three hits, striking out four over five innings in that 11-4 victory there for the Warner-Ipswich Northwestern squad. Aberdeen Central, after day one, collectively as a team sitting in the number six spot, as they got victories yesterday from A.J. Prane, Dawson Peterson, Gustavo Carrara, and Mike Adanen there in singles play. They'll all be in action later on here today. And those that lost yesterday, they'll be on the consolation side of things for the day here today. Groton invite was held yesterday for some high school golf. And dealing with the high temperatures and strong winds, Aberdeen Roncalli found a way to get the job done. They placed first, Groton second, Redfield third, and the Bulldogs of Milbank in fourth. Claire Crawford, you are medalist there for the Aberdeen Roncalli Cavaliers, an 11 over par 83, and all things considered, dealing with high heat and wind, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, you'll take that, especially you just don't know where the ball's going when the wind's like that, especially off the tee. That's where, to me, it would be very troublesome, just because of that wind. You're trying to wait for it to stop for a moment, then go. But these players, they're used to it. I feel like they're used to it. And it seems to me, you know, just looking at, you know, when Roncalli's out there, Roncalli's, compared to some of the other teams, is pretty – there's a disparity there, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, they won big time. They defeated Groton by a hefty sum, 79-121. So it's not like they won by a stroke or two. Now, that's a segue. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Okay.
But yesterday at the pre-Region 5B meet – was it 5B? I was putting this together last night. Was it 5B or somewhere else? No, it was the Region 1B meet.
Pre-Region 1B meet?
Yeah.
Yep.
My goodness. Take a look at the boys' final scores. You had Britton Hecla in the 8th spot at 53 over.
Yeah, look at this.
And Frederick in the number 12 spot with a 4-stroke difference. You had 53, 54, 55, 56, and 57. So that's like one bad hole.
Yep.
And it's just completely bananas. So check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com, as we're out of time. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour. Terry Dosh, he'll join us live in studio tomorrow on FSA.